So FAST, or the Public Health Activities and Services Tracking Study or Initiative, sits within or works within the Public Health Practice-Based Research Networks that we'll be talking about today in connection with this work. And I have to say that this research is never done in public health in isolation. We are very much kind of a large growing team of our research team and our practice partners, and many of whom are listed here, and it's growing all the time. And much of the work we're going to be talking about today is also funded through the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Nurse Faculty Scholars Program, as well as the program through the Practice-Based Research Networks and other related funding. And I have nothing to disclose with regard to this presentation. The little bit of quick background on the FAST study. FAST is really in response to, or even it gotten started before, but is closely related to the IOM's report around the role of measurement and accountability in public health practice, et cetera. So what we're really doing in FAST is creating this data repository for comparing the effectiveness of different kinds of public health efforts, public health practice. I often say really we're looking at what works for what populations and under what conditions, when we can really kind of put together data and from data systems in public health practice that we've got today, where we can really start measuring some of these changes and outcomes. We're really trying to provide evidence for local public health practice decision making, and ideally looking at that in relationship to health outcomes and reducing health disparities. A thumbnail sketch of FAST is really creating this large data set of briefly the really unique data that's in there are local public health department annual data, really detailed data around service statistics and a lot of financial reports to date. Those are the data that are particularly unique. We've been combining them across states, multiple states, a handful of states that we've been working with so far that tend to have these detailed data. Of course, not every state has these detailed data. Then we've been compiling them together. And these are data that that depict annual services provided by local health departments on a service line level, so, and really start to measure a volume of a certain amount of service over time. We've been combining these data with, on the county level, not every health department works on a county, of course, so we've been doing some fancy footwork with spatial boundary files, et cetera, in terms of linking those up with county level data and other demographics, nature profile data, health outcome data that we've gotten from state health departments, et cetera, and other sources. And in connection with that, we're doing that with the Public Health Practice-Based Research Networks, because this is very much a collaborative effort, an iterative effort with our local public health partners. And Laura, being one of them, will really talk about how that's worked. Then myself and Mike will talk about some of the research that we've been doing, and kind of we'll start at a higher level in terms of analyzing some of our preliminary data, and then down to more specific service domain and a area of particular activity, service activity that we'll be talking about today as an example. So Laura,
take it away. Good afternoon, everybody. I hope you've had your caffeine, as I have. I'm Laura Hitchcock. I have nothing to disclose. I'm going to talk a little bit about maps, and in some ways, this would have been a nice presentation to be sort of at the end, particularly as we think about the goal of public health systems and services research, and in particular, as we find that it is descriptive to inferential to translational. What does that mean? And the use of maps can really help, I think, at all of those phases of the research, and in particular in working with our practice-based partners like myself to really understand what's going on. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our experience in FAST using maps with public health practitioners. And this map probably looks familiar to many of you. Raise your hands if you've never seen it before. Everybody's seen it before. So, of course, this is Dr. John Snow's hand-drawn map of cholera cases in London in the 1850s, and first he identified where people infected with the waterborne disease lived, and then also made marks on the map for each sick person, and then the pattern suggested which particular pump was the infected pump. And as Betty mentioned, the recent IRM report on the role of measurement of action to action and accountability also calls for a dynamic approach through which ongoing information can be added to analyses as we examine the relationships and factors that impact them. Maps are an instrument for reasoning about this kind of quantitative information, and I think more and more we will see the use of maps, and already are actually in our communities. This is just an example of CDC's National Diabetes Surveillance System map, and I think these two, let me see if I can go back and forth a little bit between these, this one and this one, which is obesity. So if you can look at the patterns there. This is diagnosed diabetes in 2007 for adults aged 20 and over, and this is adults aged 20 and over who are obese in 2007. So even just on the plane, I was looking at this and thinking about the difference between these two maps and, you know, what story that might tell. This is the counties in the top and bottom two quintiles of both diabetes and obesity in 2007. The other benefit to using maps is that we can spatially describe, as Betty mentioned, patterns and trends that can leverage local knowledge, improve data quality, and increase ownership of the research process. So I'm going to give you an example of something that we discovered in our process of collecting data around WIC. This is the state of Colorado. Anybody here from Colorado? You might recognize the outline of your state. And we were gathering WIC service per year by all local health departments. And we had this very strange outcome, which the large triangle you see circled at the bottom is in a very, very rural area. In fact, it's the least populous county in Colorado. It has fewer than 550 people and is mostly national forests in the highest average elevation of any county in the U.S. So it made us think about what is going on here. Why do we have only 3 to 10 Medicaid births per year, but with participation in the 850 to 1,100 person range? Well, we asked the question. And so what we found out was that this was someone's too shorthand way of abbreviating the San Juan Basin Health Department. They provided WIC services for La Plata, Archuleta, and San Juan counties, three counties. So that was clarification was provided by the state WIC director. And so when we asked the question, we assumed that if a county was not listed, the WIC service was being provided by a non-local health department. But in fact, local knowledge on the ground in Colorado quickly pointed out that there were five additional counties where WIC is provided by a local health department outside of its own jurisdiction. So this is a more accurate representation of what's going on with local health departments. So this really suggested to us the need to be very closely aligned with our practice partners in terms of understanding the quality of the data, really understanding how to identify and interpret anomalies and findings, and also being able to identify additional research questions related to practice, and to evaluate the use of maps, as I said, as a tool for interpreting and disseminating findings. So we did a small study, and I say study in quotes because I'm talking less about a specific investigation and our findings, but more a study of what is the approach to research translation. Those were the objectives. So what was done? We collected, we had an open online survey from January to April of this year, and we got insight from three states, Washington, Florida, and Colorado practitioners about their own states. And displayed data from the three FAST studies that are underway, including changes in and or distribution of local health department services or expenditures on WIC, maternal child health, and then maternal infant child and adolescent expenditures. And maps were used to display large amounts of information clearly and concisely. Each map was limited to two dimensions of data, such as expenditure relative to need, where in this case Medicaid births were used as a proxy to represent the need in the local jurisdiction. And so what we found was really a mixed set of responses from all of the surveys. For approximately half of the respondents, the data confirmed their sense of these local health department service and expenditure changes and distributions. For others, the data were too limited to be meaningful. So looking at the map, you know, two sets of data were too limited to be meaningful. And for a few, the data did not look accurate in places. And the example is there, of course, of Colorado. You can see the circle there. So just in terms of, you know, really sort of thinking about, I want to put a practice hat on for a second here, really thinking about the significance and contemporaneous importance of this data and the interest in the community. Health departments, state health associations, health directors associations, state legislators, state health departments, everyone is trying to figure out what to do about budget cuts and wanting to be able to describe what's happening in their community, wanting to be able to describe what the benefit is of continuing to finance local public health services. So these, particularly I think for maternal child health, this is very much top of mind for local health departments.
Did you say that's accurate, Betty? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people are really thinking about this a lot. So some of the interpretations or findings that the respondents gave was that that the difference between how WIC and maternal, infant, child, adolescent health expenditures are being distributed is directly linked to changes in federal and state policies. People did feel that was true. And you can see on this map, this is the 2008 to 2009 change in MCH expenditures, local health department MCH expenditures on a per capita basis relative to the percent of local births that are financed by Medicaid. So people also felt that expenditures are not or will not be enough to meet demand with WIC as the proxy. And local public health leaders are also feeling like they have to make very tough decisions about maternal child health priority setting in the face of decreasing resources. There's a greater need and less resources to support that need. So some of the, one of the other purposes of doing this was to identify new research questions. So one question we've asked then is, how are these fluctuations in local health department expenditures affecting health outcomes? And you see some of the potential health outcomes to look at there. And what is the distribution of WIC and maternal child health expenditures spent by non-local health department providers? Certainly in our state, when many local health departments shed direct services, the assumption was that community partners would pick up those services. The United Way would fund those services. You know, community benefit dollars would fund those services. Community-based organizations would pick up those services. So is that, in fact, happening? It's hard to know from this data what is happening with non-local health department WIC programs. So then we also wanted to understand the utility of map displays specifically. And the results were mixed again. Too little information displayed via the maps. The maps are useful and descriptive information, but valuable mainly in the context of additional information. The maps were too confusing to interpret. Neither of these maps answer the question, so what? And I just want to, because I work in our assessment unit in our health department, I think that's the second point is a very interesting point, because to the extent that we are not practitioners either do not have the expertise to be able to interpret maps, or they do not have the time to be able to interpret maps, it begs a very interesting research question or data visualization question for those of us who are, you know, attempting to bridge that role. And then finally, data displayed could be politically sensitive to the funding of WIC services. So there were some who said there are members of our community who would use this information to say we are spending too much on MCH services and we need to cut these services. Interestingly, Betty may talk more about this, but when we talked more with some of our leaders in our state, one person at a local health department level and one at the state health department level, who have, I think, great respect among their colleagues, they said, nope, people need these maps. You know, if it's politically sensitive, it's politically sensitive. It's a little bit like the county health rankings. You know, you put it out there and it becomes a point for conversation rather than some sort of accusation of insufficient services. But it's an opportunity for conversation. So in summary, practitioners had a lot to add regarding underlying mechanisms at play, which helped us better understand the data. They're also passionate about the cuts to services, not surprisingly. The respondents are very interested in outcomes related to changes in expenditures depicted. Obviously want to know what the impact is of the cuts. Data and map sensitivities, there is information desired, but caution required. Although, as I said, I think there is interest in, at least in our state, in Washington, in getting the information out there. And the utility of the maps in our survey helped with our data quality process, aided interpretation, identified areas for further research, and engaged a passionate practice community in the data. The next couple of, I have three more sets of maps that I will share with you, and at the end, if there's interest in having more of a conversation about them, we can. We recently presented in Washington State to our Joint Conference on Health, which is our State Public Health Association conference, annual conference, and there was a lot of interest in these maps and a lot of debate and dialogue afterwards, and I'll share with you one thing that we learned that I thought was really interesting about this particular set, which is the environmental health example. So these maps are blank, 2008 to 2010. The dark green, as you go up the darkness in color, it's the increase in number of inspections per permit. So the dark green is 1.5 to 2 inspections per permit. And
Permitted restaurant
facility. And the 25 to 50, I think, is 0.25. I'm trying to look in that if that's right.
Is it 25 to 50 or
0.25
to
2.5? Yeah, I'm having a hard time seeing this, but I'm assuming that it's 1.5 is the high and the lighter color is the low. So here is the thing that's interesting about this, and I'm from Seattle. I hope when you come to Seattle, you eat in our restaurants. Someone who was not from Seattle said, "Well, that's very interesting. Does this mean that Seattle, in fact, has better restaurants in terms of food safety?" And someone else said, "Well, it also could mean that we're inspecting based on violations, and in fact, we might have a much lower record of food safety." So, that might be interesting then to look at: is it per violation, is it per permit, or could you look at violations here, and could you also look at outbreaks and reported outbreaks? So, interesting data that we didn't have here. This is another maternal child health example of LHJ, by the way, stands for local health jurisdiction, which is what we call our local health departments. And this is services by local health departments to children with special health care needs. So you can see the difference between 2008 and 2010. And, I looked at these on the plane and I was thinking, well, that's so interesting because in some instances it went up and in some instances it went down. So why was that? Was there a grant? Was it a different, maybe there was a partnership, maybe there was working together with another health department in a kind of a regional approach that allowed some cost savings to happen and allowed the dollar to go further. Very sort of interesting questions. And then finally, this is a chronic disease prevention example, which examined which local health departments participated in healthy foods or food security initiatives. So the light green, which I'll show you in a minute, is both. They participated both in healthy foods or food security initiatives. Blue, just healthy foods, and pink, food insecurity initiatives alone. So again, green is they participated both in both of these types of initiatives. And then you can see there was some change in 2010. Fewer were participating in both. But there were also, additional places where people, and CTG may have something to do, or sorry, CPPW might have had something to do with this because CPPW came into play both in 2008 and then our state had a statewide CPPW initiative in 2010. So interesting questions there. So we just wanted to raise these issues as examples of ways that maps can help to validate the data at all stages of description, interpretation, and translation, and then also just to demonstrate how we're working together with our academics and practice partners. Thanks.